Wonder if we could turn in our Bibles this morning to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy and to chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 12 of the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 12 of the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory for ever. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 14, for our scripture reading this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter, please. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite together in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we turn to thee in our Saviour's precious name afresh. We thank thee, our God, for the page of Holy Writ, and we thank thee for these records that we have here of these great promises and these great revelations. We thank thee for our Saviour, the triune God, the second person of the Godhead. We thank thee, our God, for the one who is our Saviour and our Redeemer and our friend. And we pray that thou wouldst pour out thy Spirit upon us today, and even our God, that we might be drawn closer to thee, and that we might know thy grace and mercy and blessing upon our hearts. Draw near to us, bless and be with us, for it's in Jesus' precious name that would ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to take as my text today verses 8 and 9 of the portion of Scripture. Philip saith unto him, Lord, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And then Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? I want you to notice the dramatic question that Philip, the apostle, made of the Lord Jesus Christ here. He asked, Show us the Father. Now, that was a very bold and dramatic question that he asked. It was a very bold inquiry that he made. Show us the Father. We're told in John chapter 1 and verse 18, No man has seen God at any time. Even Moses, who asked to be shown the glory of God, only had a passing glance at the Savior. So when Philip asked the question, Show us the Father, it was a desire for something that no person in the world had ever seen. We don't know how much about this man. We don't know much about this man, Philip, in the Bible. We read in John chapter 1, verse 44, that he was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And it seems that he grew up with Andrew and Peter and James and John. They were all God-fearing Jews. They would have all attended the same synagogue. And so there was that likelihood that there was that acquaintance about them. And certainly when the Lord Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John, the next one who he called was Philip. Now, as we say in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is nothing at all that we learn about this man, Philip. All that we learn about him is found in the Gospel of John. But what we do see of him, and as we put it together, we would build up a picture of a man who was much of a facts and figures man. He was a very pragmatic individual. We could say a process person. He was a pragmatist, often a cynic. He was a person who was sometimes a defeatist. And he was predisposed to dullness rather than to being a visionary. And that's the picture that we have him with him here. And really he is displaying his defeatism and his dullness of perception when he asks this question, Lord, show us the Father. Philip's desire was that the Lord would dissipate all his doubts and dissipate all his questions. He had questions about God, where God was, and what God was doing, and what God was doing in his life. And all these basic questions were welling up in the heart of this man. And he was really saying, Lord, if you show us the Father, all of these questions are going to be dissipated, and all of these questions are going to be answered. Now, I want you to see that the Lord did answer his question here, his desire. And the Lord said, Philip, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father, he said, are one. And when you know me, you know the Father. And Philip had missed all that. Philip had missed, he was so looking for the dramatic, he was so filled with looking for the spectacular, that he hadn't seen that the Father was manifested and was pictured or was displayed in the Son that was before him. And we realize that that God is supremely manifested in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the heavens declare the glory of God. We know that in the Scriptures, the prophets of old, they declared the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we recognize that supremely, that God is manifested when our Savior came down to this earth and dwelled amongst men. Now, of course, many people will recognize and will be ready to admit that the Lord Jesus is some kind of manifestation of God. They will accept, perhaps even today, that he's a messenger of God. Maybe they would say he is one messenger among many. But I want you to recognize that he is the supreme manifestation of God. He that has seen Christ has seen the Father. In him dwelleth the Godhead bodily.
The commentator Bengel said not merely the divine attributes, but the divine nature itself. We see the Father when we see Christ. And I want us to think about him today. I want us to think about our Savior today. I hope that in this meeting that we might have some manifestation in your heart, that you would see the Father today. As we come to Christ, as we worship him, as we look at him in the Scriptures today, I want us to see our Savior. And you know, the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And oh, that you might be drawn to him today, and that in some ways today, that the desire of Philip might be answered, and that we might see the Father, that we might see God manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ. So I want us to look just for a few minutes at this question, this desire, this request that was made by Philip so long ago. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And first of all, I want you to see the request that he made. Look at verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And I want you to see there is this spectacular request. Really, he could go alongside Moses. Remember the request of Moses when he said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And here in this aspiration, Philip really stands beside him. There's a close kinship between the lawgiver and the fisherman from Bethsaida. They wanted to have a closer relationship with God. And I want you to see that there is the mark of this request is a mark of a man who wants to know something more of God. Now, we'll see in a wee minute that there's unbelief in his request. There's a mistake in his request that he makes. But nevertheless, here's a man who has grown in grace. We read about him, first of all, in John chapter 1. And he's sitting contemplating the Scriptures. And he's obviously a man there who wanted to know something about the Scriptures. And he's a man who wanted to know something about God. But in the few short years that he had known the Savior, at the start he's a man who wanted to know about the Messiah. He's a man who wanted to have the Messiah come. But he's, like other Jews at that time, he wants the Savior to come, the Messiah to be one who comes and delivers them from the yoke of the Romans. And really it's a physical victory that he wants. But over the years, as he has met the Savior and read or been with the Savior, he has come to know more about the Savior, and he's grown in grace now, and his desire to be shown the Father is one that he thinks that he can make, and one that he thinks that can be fulfilled. He wants to know more about God. And you know, that is a desire of a person who's grown in grace. I wonder today if there is that desire in your heart. Do you want to know more about God? Do you want to know God? Not just know more about God, but to know God personally, to have that relationship with him. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And that was the real pith and marrow of the desire of the Apostle Paul, to know more about God, to know more of God, to have fellowship with him. And really in this request, you can see, mixed with unbelief, yes, we'll see. Mixed with mistake, we will see. But in the midst of it all, there is a desire to know God. Now, I wonder today, do you want to know God? Do you want to read his word? Do you want to draw near to him in prayer? Is that your desire? Because if it is not your desire, there's something wrong. There needs to be that growth and grace. Because not only do we see the mark of the request, but the must of the request. You see, Philip said here, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It's the thing that will satisfy me. It's the thing that will meet my need. And he's inspiring to something that every person really needs. A.W. Tozer said, what do you think of God is the most important thing about you. And we need to know God. We need to know him because that is the thing that we were created for. It is the thing that we were made for, to hold fellowship with God. We need to know God. And notice the words there. It sufficeth us. It is sufficient for us. It will satisfy me. You know, you look at Christ on the page of history and you think of the footprints that he has made upon this earth, and we think of how those that met Christ went away satisfied. Their hearts were changed and sometimes their bodies were changed. And you know, if we meet Christ, he's the one who is the answer to our needs. Maybe you're going through a dark valley today. Christ has said that even though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for he is with us. In the long shadows, Christ is the one who will meet your need. In the midst of illness, he's there to meet your need. In the midst of difficulty, he's there to meet your need. He is the one that suffices us. And while whether it is in pleasure or in difficulty, the Lord is the one who is there to meet our need. Daniel said, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And it is because we have lost touch with Christ and because we don't have that fellowship with him that very often we're down in a place of despair or despondency or disappointment. But those that know their God are a people who cannot be put down, who cannot be put off. They're not a people that are, they're going to be a people who keep on because they know Christ. It sufficeth us. Show us the Father, he says, and it sufficeth us. The must of the request, because we need to know him. But then I want you to see the mistake of the request. Because while there is an indication of growth and grace, and while if we meet God and if we have that fellowship with God, it does suffice us, I want you to see that Philip really asked this question out of a mistake. Philip wanted a visible appearance, the way that Moses had only beheld the back of God. But here is Philip, and he wants to see God. He wants to see God. And he wants to have that spectacular vision of God. And we think of him here looking for the spectacular vision, while all the time Christ was right in front of him. This is the mistake that he made. He was looking to see God, and God was with him. God was right there. The Lord had been with him now for 3 years. And here he's looking for a vision. He's looking for a burst of light. He's looking for a conscious manifestation of God. He's looking for the spectacular, while God was with him all the time. There's the mistake that he made. And you know, we can make the same mistake. You know, we can be so filled with looking for the spectacular that we don't see the way that God has been at work in our lives. We don't take into account those times in prayer or in the Word when God comes and speaks to us and when God draws near to us. And you know, I'm a person that's looking for revival, and I'm sure you are a person that's looking for revival, and we want revival, and we're praying for revival, and we're looking for revival. But in the midst of our revival, are we making the mistake that Philip made, and we don't see God at work in our hearts and in our lives day by day? Because he is at work. He's there in the Word that you read day by day. He's there when you draw near to him in the place of prayer. He's with us in the many answers to prayer that he has given us in the prayer meeting or in your private place. The Lord has been there. And sometimes, like Philip, we miss him because we're looking for the spectacular. We're looking for the great thing. And in the midst of looking for the great thing, we miss him walking with us day by day. It's very easy to make that mistake, isn't it? Very easy to look for the spectacular while the Lord is with us all the time. He is with us. He's with you day by day. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Philip requests here, emphasize the urgent need of the minister of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says to him, Philip, if if ye had known me, and he said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He failed to know the Father, or he failed to know Christ with him. He failed because he only knew the Lord after the flesh. He'd got so used to having the Savior with him, so used to being in the presence of the Savior, that he began to take the wonderful things that Christ was doing for granted. Isn't it the case sometimes that very many of us live in places where there's beautiful scenery, and yet we soon begin to take the beautiful scenery for granted? It's just what we see day by day. Somebody else comes in and says, oh, what a lovely view. What a marvelous view it is that you see. What a wonderful view of the mountains. What a wonderful view of the greenery and the hills that are all around us. And we never see it because we've become used to it. Have we become used to the presence of God, used to that intimacy of fellowship, and begin to take it for granted like the children of Israel did when they went through the wilderness and began to take the things that God had given them for granted? We should not make that mistake. God is with us. And while we look for revival, and while we look for God to move in a mighty way, let's not make mistake, and let's not miss the fact that God is with us every day. So we notice Philip's request. But then I want you to see not only the request that he made, but look at the reply that he heard. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, what do you see? That there's grace in that reply. Now, the Lord is rebuking him. There's a rebuke in those words. Hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And you can almost imagine the pain that there is in the Savior, that Philip had been so dull that for all those years, walking with the Savior, he had not seen that the Savior and God the Father were one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And there's a pain there. It mattered to the Savior that Philip had not seen that. But I want you to see that the Lord deals with him in grace nevertheless. The Lord didn't turn round in anger. The words are words of sadness, and they are words where the Savior is pained because Philip did not recognize him. But nevertheless, the Lord doesn't turn. He could have turned round in anger. He could have turned round in righteous rebuke upon this man. And he could have turned round in wrath upon him because he'd been so dull of hearing. But the Lord deals with him graciously. And I want you to see that later on the Lord deals with him in answer to his prayer. And you know, this is the wonderful thing, that though we are so dull, and though we make so many mistakes, and we come at times in unbelief, we have still a God who is willing to receive us, and a God who is willing to hear our prayers. We come sometimes with bold requests, and sometimes we don't understand what we're asking. And yet God receives us. The God to whom we go is a God who receives bold requests. And you know, at times our prayers have to be cleansed by Christ, and we thank God for the one who's an advocate with the Father. But nevertheless, we have a merciful and a gracious God that receives us in spite of the dullness of our hearts. But not only do we see the grace of the reply, but look at the glory of the reply. He says, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And we see that Christ is the revelation of God. Christ, as surely as the Shekinah dwelt in the tabernacle of old, so the Lord Jesus is a manifestation of God that we have in the world today. He that has seen me has seen the Father. We bow before him today, just as Thomas did, and we say, my Lord and my God. Can you say that today? Can you bow before him? Can you own him as my Lord and my God? He and the Father are one. He is God manifested in the flesh. He comes and he draws near where two or three are met together in his name. There he is in the midst. He's here today. Will you bow before him and cry, my Lord and my God? Christ is the supreme revelation of God. And if he is the supreme revelation of God, then he is the center of our interpretation of the scriptures. The Bible says, search the scriptures. The Lord said, search the scriptures, for in them, for they are they that testify of me. They are they that testify. He's the fulfillment of the types. He's the fulfillment of the shadows. He's the fulfillment of the prophecies. He is the center of the great purpose of God. And if we don't see Christ in all the scriptures, we have missed him. We've missed it. It is he who rules the royal house of David. It is he that is behind the purposes and plans of God. We think of him today. He is the center of the revelation of the scriptures. Not about us. Not about our problems. It's Christ who is the center. And if he's the supreme revelation of God, not only is he the center of our interpretation of the scriptures, he's the center of our theology. Christ is the center of all that we believe. In all things that he might have the preeminence. Christ must be supreme. Christ must be the center of our theology. As I say again, it's not man-centered. It's not about what God does for us. It's about our worship to him. If our theology gets out of kilter, that is more than likely where it will get out of kilter, where man comes into the center. It is Christ-centered. He's the center. He's the one that we worship. He's the one that we serve. He's the one to whom we must go for salvation. Our theology is Christ-centered. And then if he's the supreme revelation, our fellowship must be Christ-centered. On what basis do we receive one another? Because we agree with one another on doctrine, because we're baptized, because we keep the Sabbath. There are many things that could be said. But the real basis of our union as members of the church is our union to Jesus Christ. We receive one another because Christ receives us. Romans 15 and 7 says, therefore receive one another as Christ also hath received us to the glory of God. Then, something else, if Christ is the supreme revelation, our devotion must be Christ-centered. Our acts of public, our acts of private, our acts of family worship, all must be centered upon Christ. He must be pondered. He must be loved. He must be worshipped. He is our prophet, our priest, our king, our friend, our brother, our husband. He's all in all. If our religion is not Christ-centered, then it is nothing. The Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We see the reply that he received. But then I want you to see something else. Look at the revelation that he received. Because I want you to see that Philip wanted to know the Father here. And the Lord Jesus here now shows him where he could find all that he needed. He could find it in the person of Christ. But I want you to know that if we find God in the person of Christ, what will that mean? What will happen if we have a revelation? If we're showing the Father, if we're showing Christ, what will happen? Well, I want you to see that the first thing that will happen is that we will have power. Look at verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, very often the Pentecostals and Charismatics would use that phrase about the greater works to justify their slayings in the Spirit and all sorts of things that are not revealed in the Bible that the Lord didn't do. That's not what it means.
It doesn't mean that he does greater works in the quality, but in the quantity. The apostles did more works. They did more healings, really, than the Lord did. And it was greater than these that they did. But I want you to see that there was power given. There was power. We think of the works done by the apostles and the disciples at Pentecost and the gospel carried across the world. And we think of the thousands that were saved. That's the greater works. The thousands that were saved. The gospel carried across the world. The Lord Jesus was very much centered in Galilee and Judea. But the apostles carried the gospel across the world. And God gave them the power to do that. They had the power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to go out with the gospel. And if we see Christ today, if we're shown the Father, that means that we will have that power to go out and to work for God and see great things done for God. Not only will we see new power, but there'll be new prayer. There's the blessing of prayer. Look at verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the promise referred here particularly to the apostles and their work of spreading the gospel. But we know that God is a God who answers prayer. And it's in his name. And that is the equivalent on my account. Perhaps a boy authorizes you to go to his father. A son authorizes you to go to his father to ask for something. And if you do, you're asking it in the Son's name. And it's the same as we go to the Father, we go in the Son's name. We go at his account. We go with his authority. Upon the authority of the precious shed blood of Christ there on the center cross of Calvary. And we're able to have answer to prayer because of our union with Christ. And if we see the Father, if we're drawn near to the Father through the Son, then thank God we can have the guarantee of answer to prayer. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We need to see mighty answers to prayer in these days. We need his power. We need the answers to prayer. Something else if we see the Father in the Son. We'll have the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost. Look at verses 16 and 17. The Lord says, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And the word Comforter there is the Greek word Parakletos. And it just means an intercessor, an advocate, somebody who draws alongside you. Now, I want you to see that when the Savior speaks about another comforter, it is not a different comforter, but the word is allos in the Greek. It means another of the same. And it is an additional comforter. It is not that the Lord Jesus goes away and he's no longer our comforter, but he is an additional and another comforter. We have not only the Lord Jesus Christ today, but we have the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Now, what did Philip ask? Show us the Father. Here's the Lord's answer. Not only am I a revelation of God the Father, I and the Father are one. But he says, I will send the Holy Spirit, another comforter. And not only will you see the Father, but you'll see the Son and you'll see the Holy Spirit. And the Lord answered his prayer far more exceeding abundantly than he ever thought or asked. He asked this bold request. And he asked it out of mistake and out of dullness of heart and out of unbelief in many ways. And yet the Lord was so gracious to him. They said to him, Philip, I'm going to answer your prayer in a way that you never even thought. Not only will you see the Father, but you see the Son, and you'll have the Holy Spirit, and he'll be another comforter.
And he will come and he will be there with you. And he will comfort you in the midst of your... He will intercede for you and console you. He'll be an advocate. And the Lord is our mediator. And he is the only mediator between God and man. And thank God we have all of this. We have the Paraclete as well as the Son and the Father. And he's a loving comforter. If I'm in distress, if I want consolation, I don't go to some stranger. I go to somebody that I know. And he is there to be with me and to console me. And the Holy Spirit is there in my heart. And he's with me every day if I'm saved. And thank God today I have a loving comforter. Not only is he a loving comforter, he's a faithful comforter. He never let me down. Even our friends at times can let us down. Sometimes they can be in distress themselves and they're no fit condition to help us or to be with us. Or maybe they have troubles or they're away or they're not there when we need them or something like that. But our comforter is a faithful comforter. He never let us down. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He is always available. Not only that, he's an unwearied comforter. Sometimes our friends can get weary with us. You know, there have been times when I've been dealing with people and, you know, the thing goes on and the people are falling into the same difficulty time and time and time again, and you're called out time and time again. And it has to be that you get weary at times. But he's an unwearied comforter. Dear friend, no matter how many times we ask, he's there. But we think of this revelation of Jesus Christ. And Philip made this so bold request, show us the Father. And he made it out of dullness and unbelief. But what a remarkable thing the Lord gave him. I and the Father are one. Philip, I'm with you. I'm with you every day, Philip. The Lord's with us every day. We say, show us the Father. And the Savior's with us every day. He's there to meet our needs. And not only that, but we have the Holy Spirit, the blessed Comforter, who's always there to meet our need. And that's a wonderful thing today, if you're saved. And if you don't know the Savior today, you come to know him. As Daniel said, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And oh, that we might know him with all of our hearts and all of our souls. Let's just bow, please, in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee today. We think of this bold request of Philip, show us the Father. And Lord, it was made out of a dull heart and an unbelieving heart. And yet, Lord, thou dost in grace and mercy give him so much. And our God, we thank thee for the so much that thou hast given us. And Lord, we can take it for granted like Philip. Lord, we can pass by the mighty things that thou hast given us every day. And Lord, we can be so intent on looking for revival and for the grace and the great things that we forget the many benefits that thou hast given us every day. Lord, forgive us for our sins, for our unbelief, for our dullness of heart. And O God, that we might see thee day by day and know that thou art with us and thou art there always to be our comforter, our guide and our help. We thank thee for thy provision for us as thy children. May we look to thee with all of our hearts, even today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.